Here's another interview featured on Serotalk. To hear more great content like this, visit www.serotalk.com or find us on iBlink Radio via the Apple App Store or the Android Market.
As promised, we are joined by Mike Calvo to talk about his experience with Disney. And Mike, we talked about that on Roundabout, and we just mentioned your blog post, but my goodness, did that ever get a lot of traffic on Twitter. People are really interested to hear what you have to say about your experience going to Disney.
You know, I'd love to take credit for people wanting to hear what I have to say, but I actually think that whenever you put Disney into anything, it's just that Midas touch. So I appreciate the vote of confidence there, my friend, but I would venture to say that it is more the mouse or the rat, depending on who you talk to, than the bat. Oh, wait, did I say I'm going to offend people now? See, I start offending people. Anyway, I'm kidding. But yeah, what do you want to know? I really enjoyed my experience there, as most folks read. And I do think it is a great read. And besides it being a great read, I think people should show it to other people.
Okay. Well, let's start by kind of arriving at the park. How did you know that this device even existed?
You know, I had seen the device mentioned at some point in the huge amounts of Twitter and email and Facebook traffic that I see in a day, sometime, somewhere in the last year and something. And then last year, I know that the AFB Access Award, which we won at Serotech, it was given to Disney and very much deserved, I think. And that was kind of it. And, you know, we had a friend of ours that said, hey, I got these tickets. They're about to expire. You know, we're only going to throw them away. So why don't you take advantage of them and take your family? And I have a large family. I have four kids with me. I have five kids in total. One doesn't live with me. And then the other four live with me. And I said, well, you know, we're usually not able to afford to go to Disney because it's very expensive to get in the door. Even for Florida residents sometimes, unless you like save up. It's certainly not something you usually do on a whim. So I said, sure. And as I was browsing the Disney page to see, you know, the times and the times that the parks were open and all that stuff, I realized, hey, here's this device, because they talked about guests with disabilities. And, oh, let's see what's going on over there. And I had forgotten about the device and they mentioned it. So I said, wow, I got to check this out. I was excited. I got all hot and bothered, you know, and decided to go get my geek on at the park. And as you read, boy, was I touched and I was pleased. You know, I was pleased because I saw what Disney had done. And one of the big things is that regardless of what got Disney to that point, because I think mm-hmm. that unlike Apple, where Apple was kind of pushed into it through I don't know if it was actual litigation or the threat of litigation, but, you know, Apple really took the accessibility ball and ran with it. And they really, Apple as well as Disney, just take an Imagineering approach to things that I just find refreshing and exciting, where they just say, well, we're here, so we might as well, you know, Apple-fy it or Disney-fy it or whatever, you know. It really was exciting to me to see that Disney just did something so, so cool. The thing that made me sad was that unlike Apple, where they said, well, let's start putting some users of this technology in commercials. Let's start putting them up front and center. A lot of blind folks don't know that there is a blind lady. And from what I understand, not that this makes a difference, but a very pretty blind lady, from what I understand, mm-hmm. in the Siri commercials. Or in at least one of them at the end. And, you know, she just kind of happens upon her. You know, you see her. She doesn't have a speaking role or whatever. But, hey, I'm the blind lady. No, but, you know, yeah. it was very cool to see that Apple did that. And I'm really sad that Disney, while I really believe that Disney did this to comply and also to make guests with disabilities comfortable in their theme parks, it kind of sent me a silent message as a consumer that I've never seen this advertised as a way for me to have equal access. It's never been marketed. It's always been kind of like, oh, this is the thing we're doing for our guests with disabilities or, you know, a cool technology so that blind people can enjoy the parks or as well. I've never seen a report from a blind person mentioning it. That's even more disturbing. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything pertaining to the consumer viability of the whole thing. And that just made me sad. And it kind of pushed me to write the piece to say, you know, people, we really gripe. We really complain. We make our voices heard when somebody doesn't do something right. And I can bring up the Kindle Fire as a great example of where we all got really ticked off and made our voices heard. And unfortunately, it's fallen on deaf ears. I don't consider Amazon's placement of a job seeking or a job position on their website to be an answer to our griping. Amazon has just hidden behind its corporate facade and not said a word. And I think that instead of facing the situation that they've done to our community on purpose, front and center, and apologizing for it and saying we're going to do better in the future and redeeming itself, all it's done is just tick us off even more by its resistance to admit that it dropped the ball when it came to accessibility. That being said, though, I don't think we give enough accolades when a product is made accessible and put out to the market. Not that we need to, oh, thank you for recognizing me. It's so wonderful. I'm just talking about just going out there and reviewing it as a blind person and making sure it gets into the mainstream. You know, yeah. It doesn't need to be this big groveling, oh, thank you for, you know, serving the needs of a, you know, poor, lowly blind person. That's not what I mean at all. You know, I just mean the same way as a sighted person would go and give a review on Amazon or on Yelp or on Twitter or on Facebook or wherever you choose to give your reviews, you know, The same thing for us as blind folks to say, you know what? I was able to use this technology. My family enjoyed it. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed that about the park. I enjoyed the other. And I happened to do it with this wonderful device that Disney, you know, put together that allows me to enjoy this on the equal level with my sighted peers. So that I think was the main thing of the whole post for me. And of course, sharing the fact that it really was very touching. I mean, I was able to have discussions with my children that I have not ever been able to have before at a Disney theme park. And for that, I am forever grateful as a parent, as a Disney guest, and because I feel that Disney did go the extra mile. One could argue if they had to or not, it doesn't really matter. The point is that they did. And thank you for that, Disney.
I find it interesting that the device doesn't even have a name, or at least not that we know of, right?
That was what really bothered me. That just shows me that Disney did what they needed to do to give the service, but it wasn't important enough. They didn't consider it a valuable enough moneymaker to give it a brand or give it a label or give it a title. The other thing that I find that's really sad is there are at least three other theme park type situations that are using the same device. The Coca-Cola Museum is one. The Patriots Museum, for those of you that are Patriots fans, is using the same technology. And there's one more, and I don't remember what it is. But none of them are advertising that they use this technology. And I haven't heard any of our blind travel experts, of which there are a few on Twitter, even mention such a thing. So shame on all you guys, because I really would like all this information. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So what does this thing look like? Kind of describe the form factor a little bit.
Well, the device is kind of bulky. I mean, it's not tiny, okay? But at the same time, I mean, it has a flat screen on the front that's kind of under this cover that you flip back if you want to look at the screen. It is kind of rugged, you know, so it's not something that's going to break easily. It does fit in a pocket. It weighs about eight ounces. It comes with a pair of over-the-ear earphones that I found a little uncomfortable just because, I mean, I want to hear the people around me and all that stuff. So what I did was I just unplugged that and those, and I just plugged in my little single earphone and put that over my ear, and it was whispering to me basically throughout the, you know, the day. The battery life on it was amazing. I was there from 10 o'clock in the morning all the way to almost 9 o'clock at night, and the battery never gave out. And, you know, for a wireless device that at very minimum, is doing, you know, wireless, you know, of some kind, 802.11, pick your letter, or yeah. GPS or whatever. It was pretty amazing that the battery lasted that long and it never gave out. The instructions were clear. I'd love to have seen it use TTS as opposed to voice recordings. And you guys can, through the magic of Patrick's editing, play a couple of those in just a little bit. But, you know, I think that a human-sounding TTS like Neo or something would be perhaps a better fit. That's just my opinion. But, you know, some people are uncomfortable with TTS, so I can understand. But the device is about the size of a sandwich.
Okay.
I think that's a good...
Which would also be expensive at Disney, probably, right?
You know, what isn't expensive at Disney? But you know what? I'll tell you something. And that's a great point, is expensive.
Okay.
I found myself as a consumer, and rightly or wrongly, a purist that believes that everything should be accessible, the world should be a universally accessible place, and all that. And I like to feel that I'm in that category to a certain degree, would say, well, your feelings about this are wrong. But I found myself being appreciative and thankful that Disney mm-hmm. did that. And I'm not groveling and kissing butt here. I'm being honest. I found right. myself being thankful because I was able to share in an experience with my family. And you know what? Experiences with my family to me are priceless.
Yeah.
And so it took the expensiveness of Disney. Now, granted, I got in for free with my friend's tickets, but right. had I paid for it? And what it's going to prompt me to do now is to look into Florida resident passes, which I would have never looked into. I mentioned that Olympus incorporates accessibility into their products like Apple does. And for yeah. me as a blind consumer, we are doing some mobile video shooting for CSUN and some things that are coming up. And we're purchasing an HD camera for doing that. And mm-hmm. I went with Olympus. Now, the Olympus camera that I bought just so happens not to have, you know, the voice guidance. And I'm sure Olympus right. figured, well, how many blind people are going to use video cameras? So why put it in there? Yeah. But the point is that I bought Olympus, and in my opinion, there may be better recorders out there, video recorders, but I stopped at Olympus because you know what? They cared enough about blind people to put accessibility into a lot of their products in their digital recorders. So when it came to buying something else, I went back and I bought it. And I feel mm-hmm. the same way about Apple. I feel the same way about Disney. You know, I don't feel the same way about Android because I feel that Android has been dragged kicking and screaming to the accessibility world. And I hope that they, you know, we will forget one day, Android or Google, but we haven't forgotten yet. And you still got some uphill climbing to do as far as it goes for me as a blind consumer to trust you that you have my best accessible interests at heart. You know, and I think I speak for a lot of the people in our community. There are some diehard Android supporters like Mike Arrigo and others and the folks on that Android show. I mean, we support Android as far as its technical abilities, but I am not very helpful as a consumer yet in the accessibility aspects of Android. So that's all I've got to say about that.
I don't want to turn this into a tutorial, most definitely, but give us just a little bit of an idea of what sort of information you can get on the device.
Well, I think that that would better be served with an audio sample. How's that?
Let's do it.
Hollywood Boulevard audio menu. Choose one of seven. 1. Area description.
Disney's chic 1930s and 40s style Hollywood Boulevard paves the way to the experiences and landmarks of the world of showbiz. Silver screen glamour, Broadway style spectacles, popular TV, and behind-the-scenes know-how create the Hollywood that never was and always will be. Stunt performances, interactive shows, and gallery exhibits await us as we stroll among shops and restaurants modeled on a range of looks, from Spanish Mission-style stucco and tile to elegant Art Deco.
Choose one of two. 1. Detailed description.
At the start of Hollywood Boulevard, a souvenir and info kiosk welcomes us, declaring Crossroads of the World. It sports a sleek column whose crowning feature is a silvery globe rotating under the feet of a Mickey Mouse statue. From here, An early and mid-20th century skyline invites us to shop Disney's snazziest retailers. Nearby, the white streamlined Oscars Super Service Station, themed with gas pumps and a tow truck, provides strollers, wheelchairs, and ECVs. The boulevard's deco buildings gleam with period details like spirals, concentric triangles, bands of chrome, and cheerful awnings. A striped pattern zigzags across the facade of the Celebrity Five and Dime. Spanish-style buildings bear inlaid tiles and wrought iron lanterns and balconies. More details along the street continue the fun. A mechanical traffic sign's red and green signals are accompanied by an automated stop-or-go arm that swings up. A fountain flows near a helpful tips chalkboard updated regularly by cast members. A statue and commemorative plaque relay a message from Michael Eisner. A topiary sorcerer Mickey from Fantasia oversees sculptures of walking broomsticks who carry buckets of flowering plants to and from the flower beds. On the rooftops, nostalgic billboards lit by gooseneck lamps advertise Kodak, Chevrolet, and the historic name Hollywoodland. At the far end of Hollywood Boulevard, we face a multi-story sculpture of Mickey's sorcerer hat from Fantasia. It stands tipped by a giant white-gloved hand. Two thick curlicues suggest both magical energy and Mickey's ears. Guests walk under the hat, which is supported by golden helix-shaped frameworks of metal. Near Mickey's hat is the Brown Derby restaurant. A simple red awning hints at the upscale dining experience inside. Beyond the sorcerer's hat is a replica of Hollywood's Chinese theater. The theater, modeled on an imperial palace, boasts a bronze curtain and gong, a soaring dragon relief, and celebrity handprints on the cement walkway out front. The theater is home to the Great Movie Ride. Attraction description is available for this tour through Classic Movie Scenes.
So there you go. It tells you everything and then some. And, you know, one of the things that I really enjoyed, besides the description of the rides, and here's one for you to hear.
Inside a reproduction of Grauman's Chinese Theater, we find the Great Movie Ride. In this ride-through attraction, animatronic figures, life-size dioramas, and special effects create scenes from famous Hollywood movies. A winding queue leads us through the theater's spacious lobby. Decorated with Asian pottery and statues, and accented in red, gold, and black, it resembles a Chinese palace. Traditional Chinese brush paintings cover several walls, and glowing lanterns hang down from a high ceiling. We reach a small side room with two tall glass cases, displaying props and costumes from recent movies. The red-trimmed cases have upturned roofs like pagodas. We make our way into a large screening room, where a two-story tall movie screen plays trailers from movies featured in the attraction. On the two side walls, soft red curtains drape beneath a row of tall brush paintings depicting dragons, birds, and flowers. From here, we enter a movie sound stage, where we board our ride vehicle, a two-car tram with 24 rows of seats. When our ride begins, a tour guide sitting up front drives our tram past scenes from Hollywood movies. The soundstage waiting area features a glowing Art Deco-style marquee that reads, "Now Playing, A Spectacular Journey into the Movies." A cast of thousands, a sweeping spectacle of thrills, chills, romance.
Besides that kind of thing, I also like the descriptions that we would have of restaurants and just shopping areas and that kind of thing. And this is what that sounds like.
Hollywood Boulevard Audio Menu. Choose one of seven. 1. Area description. 2. Attractions. 3. Restrooms. 4. Food and beverage.
1. Table service. The Hollywood Brown Derby. The Hollywood Brown Derby serves steak, seafood, chicken, and the famous Brown Derby Cobb salad. Well-balanced and vegetarian options are available. Open for lunch and dinner. Advance reservations are recommended.
So there you go, Jamie. There's a great sampling there of what the product is. I mean, it's better to hear it than for me to sit here and try and struggle through and figure out to tell you what it's like. But right. I do think that because experience is the best teacher, of course, you know, if you're near California, if you're near Florida, why don't you go try it out for yourself?
So along with going to Disney, what are some ways that maybe we can advocate, not only by thanking Disney, but even other places? How can we let these parks and these venues know that we as blind people are out there?
Well, I think that it just comes from being yourself. You know, don't think that you're such a small, insignificant market that nobody wants to hear about you. Don't think that the most minimal review that you put somewhere isn't going to be seen. I am an avid Yelper. I put a lot of stuff up on Yelp just because I'm a foodie, man, and I like going to different restaurants and all that. And I never thought that one of my reviews would get blasted in an email all over Orlando, but it did. And I've gotten a few followers from that on Yelp. I'm sure some restaurant owners have gone through and read my reviews, and I've talked about, hey, you know, they accepted my guide dog. They didn't give me, you know, garbage about the dog. They were real accommodating when it came to Braille menus, or they, you know, they didn't have Braille menus and they offered to have somebody read me the thing, which I think is very patronizing. You know, it's just be out there, be part of the mainstream, get involved. Don't sit in your blind bubble, you know, with other blind folks, even though I understand that's a lot of our comfort zone, especially now. You know, the interesting thing for me in looking at the evolution of our community, Jamie, is the fact that many of us grew up kind of on our own. We were lone rangers, lone blind rangers. And then when we got online, when we finally got connected, we felt very comfortable in the crowd mentality, in the power of us, what I call the power of us. And I think that that's important. I think that it's important that we maintain that connectivity between each other. But now, guys, it's time to go to the next level. It's time that we, since we are organized or getting that way, it's time to reach out to the mainstream and say, hey, you know, here's a whole community of blind people, and this is what we have to say, pick your subject, about the presidential candidate, about the economy, about the state of unemployment, about the, you know, about the products and services that we use, about the state of transportation, or what, pick your subject. We are, you know, people that have an opinion. We have a view, and your opinion is just as important as anybody else's, darn it. Right. So go out there and share it wherever you can. And, you know, sometimes you're going to get rejected. Sometimes you're going to be accepted. And sometimes it's just going to be a situation where it's not accepted or rejected. It just kind of seems to fall on deaf ears. But much like that that girl that today is taking naked pictures, lying on the hood of a car, and is going to have some explaining to do to her grandchildren 20 years from now, you know, things on the internet are always there. So don't despise small beginnings, people. Your voice counts. I can't tell you how many times I have to remind people of that, and even myself, because it does seem like an uphill battle. But you know, the hill is getting easier. It really is.
Something that I have been guilty of, and I hereby resolve to change this particular behavior. If I go to a restaurant and I pretty much think I know what I want to eat, I have declined Braille menus because, you know, I'm pretty sure I know what I want. I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm-mm. If someone offers me a Braille menu, I'm going to accept it and look at it. For one thing, I might actually find something else to eat, you know.
Take it a step further. Call the manager over. Be that guy that calls the manager over. You know, my mom was the manager of a restaurant, a very popular restaurant in South Florida when I was a kid. And she said, Mikey, when a restaurant does something right, you need to tell them. And when they do something wrong, you need to tell them. And I can't tell you how many times I have told the server at a restaurant, excuse me, I know we're done with our meal, but I'd like to see a manager, please. And of course, as they think I'm going to gripe and complain. And I make it a point to say, I'd like you to call your server over here for a moment. I'd like to talk to you in front of the server. Mm-hmm. And then I proceed to tell them, you know, this server just bent over backwards to facilitate me as a customer, to facilitate my children. And I just want you to know that I am so pleased with the quality of food, with the quality of product, that I know that you guys work so hard to provide. And people like to hear that, you know. Yeah. And you know what? When you're blind, whether it's right or wrong, you are remembered. You are remembered. Man, I had a blind guy in the other day that was so polite to me and talked so nice about my server. I wish the rest of everybody else was like that. And then the next time that that corporate entity comes up and says, well, you know, we need to get some Braille menus. You know, oh yeah, you know, there's a blind guy came in here one time and spoke so highly of us. And we didn't have a menu, though. He mentioned we didn't have menus. I'm glad to see that we're finally getting them in here. You know, so don't ever underestimate the power of the impression that you make on people, you know, and do take advantage of calling over a manager and saying, you know, I've been here before and the service has been fantastic. And I understand that it's a busy day today, but I am not happy with the way that things went. I'm not, and assure them, I am not looking for a discount. I don't want anything. I'm just letting you know that today you fell short of my expectations. But most of the time, you exceed them. If they do. If they don't, you fall short of my expectations today. You did it the last three times I came here. Unfortunately, I will not be coming here again. In fact, I've let everyone on my Yelp list know that I will not be coming here again. And that is what we need to do as consumers. We have the right to do it. You live in America. You have the First Amendment for now, you know, and I suggest you exercise your right to it.
Good words, some great things to think about, and maybe we can all save up and join you in Disney.
Hey,
at Disney.
Come on down. The rat's waiting for you.
All right. We've been talking with Mike Calvo here on the Serotalk podcast.
If you found this information useful, or if there's something you think we should know about, let us know by sending an email to resources@serotalk.com. Send us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB, that's 2522, or send us an iReport on iBlink Radio.